Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Your Bibles tonight and make your way to the book of Malachi. And I want to talk to you a little bit tonight, the last book of the Old Testament. If you'll go to Matthew, go back one chapter or go back one book, you'll find the book of Malachi. And I want to give you a little thought here tonight out of Malachi chapter number 3. Malachi chapter number 3, and we'll see what the Lord will give us tonight. Malachi chapter number 3, my heart's desire tonight is to help you. I promise you that. It's to just give you the Word of God. And let the Bible stand for what the Bible is. Amen. The Bible means what it says and says what it means. That's what Brother Stennett Blue used to always say. How true that is. And according to the Word of God, as the pastor, you're supposed to be apt to teach. What that means is that you're able to teach the Word of God also. And I'm going to talk to you about giving God's way tonight. Giving God's way. How does God want us to give to Him? And does He just want me to throw five in whenever I've got it? Or does He just want me to wake up on Sunday morning and say, well, Lord, what do you want me to give today? And throw that in the offering plate. And we're going to look at that tonight and just see what the Lord would give us. Father, you know the need of this service. And God, I pray, Lord, that you'd help me for a little while. Lord, as we read these verses and as we look at this, and God, you know my heart, I want the best for our church. I want the best for the people in our church. And God, I don't point fingers tonight. Lord, you know my heart. I don't know who gives and who don't give here at our church. But God, I pray, Lord, that we would learn from your word tonight. May we apply it to our hearts and to our lives. And God, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. When you study the word of God, I'm going to read you some verses here in just a few minutes. But when you study the word of God, you'll find that the word of God has three different types of offerings in it. Number one, there's our tithe that we give, and that's a definite amount. We're going to see that tonight. That's 10%. That's a definite amount that God has given. Then also there is a free will offering. A free will offering is simply something like this. We're taking a special offering for the preacher, and you put a $20 bill. That is a free will offering. Your tithe don't belong to a guest preacher, and we're going to look at that here in just a minute where God set up to bring the tithe to, because it's all in the Word of God. But there's a free will offering. And then number three, there's a faith promise missions offering. That's what you trust God for by faith, weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, however you give, to give the world missions. Now, we'll learn a lot more about that Faith Promise Missions offering in October when Dad comes back and does our missions revival that we have at least every other year. But tonight, I really want to just center in on tithing. Here's what the Bible said. Are you in Malachi chapter number 3? Look what the Bible said in verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Well, let's back up to verse number 7. The Bible said this, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. The Bible says in verse number 10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall he or your vine cast her fruit. Now, I want to talk to you just a little bit tonight, and fruit before the time. I didn't read the rest of the verse. I'm sorry. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. I want to talk to you just a little bit about this subject of tithing and giving to the Lord tonight. Now, some would say, well, preacher, why don't we talk about something spiritual? Well, whenever you study the Word of God, you'll find out that the Bible says that money is the root of all evil. All evil can be traced back. It's the root of all evil to money. So if it's the root of all evil, then I think we probably ought to talk about it a little bit, amen, and see what the Bible says about it. Some says, well, this preacher, well, it's uncomfortable. I don't like it when the preacher talks about money. If that's true, you wouldn't have liked the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever you study the life of Christ out in His preaching, there's 36 different parables, and 16 of those had to do with our attitude towards money. Remember the story Jesus told about the widow's mite? The Pharisees were giving their large offerings, and the little lady gave her two mites. Whenever you study it out, the whole story has to do with our attitude towards money. If God's not interested in money, then why did God include that story in the Bible? What about the unjust steward in Luke 16? What about the rich young ruler in the Word of God? So if God was not interested in our money, then why did He put this in the Word of God? So I would say this to you, God is interested in our money. But you know what? There's somebody else that's interested in our money. You know who that is? Satan. Satan is interested in our money. I thought about this today. I went home and we got out of routine today. Pray for us. We had turkey instead of chicken. And I eat some turkey and some taters. I promise you they're going to be taters on the table at John's house. I eat some taters and Madeline fixed me a big cup of coffee, and I sit down and watch a little baseball while I was drinking that cup of coffee. That's the only real sport there is. And then I came back up to the church and I sat up here in the church and I was studying and actually I was trying to get some things done tomorrow, trying to get ahead a little bit. But anyway, I got to thinking about this. Why does people get so tight when you talk about money? And why does services, man, they just seem to bog down whenever the preacher says, I'm preaching on tithing tonight, or I'm dealing with tithe. Let me tell you the reason why Satan's interested in your money. And if Satan can keep you from giving to the church what God wants you to give to the church, there's two things going to happen. Number one, you're not going to receive the fullness of God's blessings on your home. And number two, the finances that needs to be in the church is not going to be there. The more you give to the church, the more the church can do for world missions, the more the church can do for the outreaching of our community, and on the story goes. So Satan is interested in your money. There's a third person that's also interested in your money. Not only is God interested in it, not only is Satan interested in it, but you know who else is interested in your money? You are. You say, well, I'm not interested in mine. Well, give it to me. I'll be glad to be interested in it for you, all right? You're interested. Now, some people, don't nobody get upset with me, and I'm not saying it's nobody in this room, but some people, you can give them a check for $40,000, and within 15 minutes, they don't have a clue where it went. They don't have nothing to show for it. It's gone, man. It is absolutely gone. Some people, they say they're interested in their money, but the way they handle it, they must not be interested in their money. And there's some talk going on back over here in this section. I think DC just accused Regina of being able to blow $40,000 in 20 minutes. Maybe she accused him of being able to blow. No, he's tight, son. He's got grease fittings in his hips so he can move. He's so tight. But you're interested in your money. I want to know where my money's at. I want to know where my money's going. I want to know why it's going there. And you say, why? Because it takes money to make the world go around if you hadn't figured that out yet. So you're interested in your money. Now, there's something that is stated in Malachi chapter number 3 that I can find nowhere else in the Bible. There's a statement that is made in Malachi chapter number 3 that I can find nowhere else in the Bible. And here it is. Look in verse number 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now. It is the only time that I can find in my Bible that God says, put me to the test. Put me to the test. He said, prove me. That's what he is saying there. Put me to the test. And here's what he says. Prove me, saith the Lord of hosts. Here's what he says. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. He says, I want you to put me to the test and see if I'll keep my word. Nowhere else in the Word of God will you find where God is saying, prove me, put me to the test, see if I will not do what I say that I'll do. Some people look at their budget and say, I'm going to deal with all of these obligations, and then if I can afford it, I'll give my 10% to God. Can I ask you a question? Why do you want to give God your leftovers? Did God give us His leftovers? Absolutely not. So why would we want to give God our leftovers? I say this to you tonight. I don't look at everything and say, you know what? If I can afford it, then I'll tithe. I say this. I can't afford not to tithe, so I'm going to tithe. This is the truth. And I've said this here before. And you'll have to admit, it's been a long time. I tried to figure it up. It's been since before COVID that I just took a whole service and just dealt with what the Bible says about giving. It's not something I preach all the time. I don't hound on this all the time. I mention it every time we take the offering. You give good and God will bless you. But I got to thinking about this. And I've said this before preaching here. My wife and I has never had a conversation about tithing. We've never talked. From the day we got married, now I'm going to go ahead and say something else, and this will be a subject for another matter sitting around a table, not in the church. My wife and I don't have separate accounts. When we got married, we became one flesh. And we have one account that's got my name and her name on. We don't have separate accounts. Now, every man in here, if he's honest, has probably got a little squirrel money. Are you with me? And you know what I found out? I got a little squirrel money, but my wife's got some elk money. You say, what do you mean by that? I found her stash one time, and it was a whole lot more than my stash. So I got a squirrel account, and she's got an elk account, okay? We've got a little money set, but when I'm talking about the finances of our home, we don't have separate accounts because we are one flesh. The day we got married, we became one flesh. And Leslie and I never, after we got married, we never talked about tithing. We have never said, are we going to tithe today? The first Sunday we went to church, she wrote a check for our tithe, put it in a tithing envelope, and we've tithed. And I've said this also at our church. And I'm the only person that I've ever heard say this. I've never had anybody else come up to me and tell me this. And even if you did, I'm not going to do it. But I've said this many times. Miss Stephanie knows where the records is at, and Miss Tina knows where the records is at. Anytime you want to see my giving record, you have my permission to show it to anybody in our church. I'm not going to stand up here and preach something to you or teach something to you that I don't practice myself. And here is what I have seen. God, time and time and time and time and time again, prove Himself to me because I've been faithful to Him, because I've done what He said do. Now look what the Bible says. Look what the Bible says. Verse number 11. He says this, He says that there shall not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your grounds, neither shall your vine cast her fruit. Look what the Bible says, before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Now let me explain something to you. Understand the manners and customs of that day. The manners and customs of that day was the majority of the people was farmers. That's the way they made their living. That's the way they fed their children. It was not like it is today. There was not a Super Walmart or an Aldi's that you went and bought groceries in. So you know what the Bible said to them? Said, look, if you'll bring 10%, and I'm going to show you that in just a second. If you'll bring 10% and you'll give it to me, God says this, I'll keep the bugs off of your plants so your plants will produce what they need to produce so you'll be taken care of. I'll make sure that it doesn't ripen too early and the frost gets it and kills it. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying now. Let's bring it into our day. God's saying this, if you'll bring me what I ask you to bring me, then I'll take care of you. There's a practical application that can be made there. Have you ever, don't nobody answer this out loud, okay? But have you ever been at that place, and I've sat down with people, and they said this, well, preacher, it just seems like we're throwing our money in a bag that's got a hole in the bottom of it. We can't get ahead for nothing. I'll never forget, there was a couple come to me one time and said, preacher, we can't get ahead. Preacher, will you sit down and look at our finances with us? And I said, I'll be glad to. I don't mind a bit. So they came in and they sat down in my office, which was about where that piano is sitting at now at the time. They came in and they sat down in my office and we started talking, and I said, look, here's one thing that I ask for, complete transparency. And if you can't be honest with me, then we don't need to go any further. And I said, because I can't help you unless you're completely honest with me. And they said, no, here it is. And they had already had it all wrote out, Brother Josh. And they laid it down on the table. They had what they took in every month, what they spent out every month. And at the bottom of it, those numbers was way off because there was a big negative sign down at the bottom. And here's what I looked at them and said. I said, here's your first problem. And they said, okay, we're ready to learn. I said, you don't have tithing on here. And they said, but preacher, do you not see our bills? And I said, I didn't ask about your bills. You don't have tithing on here. I said, so we're going to start all over again. And we took a notepad and a piece of paper and a pen. And we started back with the very top number of what they got. And you know what we done? We took 10% of that and put it to the church for tithing. Then after we took that 10% and put it to the church, we started walking down through there. And they got in this section of eating out, and hundreds of dollars a month there was going out for eating out. And I said, we need to scratch every bit of that and learn how to make a grocery list and go to the store and buy some groceries and cook at home. So we went down through there, and here's what I said. I said, give it 90 days. Do this for 90 days and let me know how it works. And I said, the very first thing, write your tithe check. Very right off the top, very first thing, do that before you pay a bill one. They came back in 60 days and sat down with me again and said, preacher, we can't explain it. Said, we cannot explain how 90% is going further than 100%. And I said, well, can I explain it? There's a verse that says, prove me. Put me to the test and see what I'll do. And I said, the only time God ever said that was in what? Giving. Let's see what he'll do. And that couple, it was amazing to see what God done with them down through the years. You said, preacher, you're trying to put me in a straitjacket and bind me down. No. You want me to tell you what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to set you free. I'm trying to give you liberty. You say, but preacher, it don't make sense. You're exactly right. It doesn't make sense. But you know what? I've seen God time and time and time again prove himself in what he'll do. I thought about this. There's three groups in this room tonight. And I'm headed somewhere. Stay with me. There's three groups. Number one, there's this group. It's all mine. I worked, earned it, deserve it, and can do what I want to. And when the offering plate goes by, they say, I'll give if I want to, but I don't have to. If I feel led to put something in, I'll put something in, but I don't have to. That's group one. Group two is this. The tithe belongs to God, and the rest is mine. Here's their attitude. In obedience, I will give him 10%, and with the rest, I'll do with it what I want to do. Then the third group is this. Number one, it's all mine. Number two, the tithe belongs to God, and the rest is mine. Number three is this. It all belongs to God. Every bit of it is his. I return to him what he has commanded, and he entrusts me with the rest of his money. Just because I return the tithe doesn't give me the right to do whatever I want to with the rest of it. I should still be cautious with that, and before I make any major decision, I should pray and ask God's will on that decision. I'm going to answer a couple questions, and then I'm going to give you 3 points and we'll go home. Here's some of the questions that's been asked to me about tithing. Preacher, do I tithe off of what I bring home or off of it from the top? And here's what I've always answered. When in doubt, play safe. Just give off the top. If that check that week was $1,000 and you brought home $798, just go ahead and give off the top. Just go ahead. You said, but preacher, I didn't bring it home. Prove me. Prove me. Just go ahead and give off the top. Well, preacher, should I give off of my tax income? What I get back from the government? Well, there's a couple ways you can look at that. Number one, you can look at it this way. If you give off the top right off the get-go, then you've already tithed off of that. Another way you can look at it is this. God didn't have to let you get that back, so since he did, why not just go ahead and give him 10% of that also? But preacher, that's a lot of money. Prove me. I'm just giving you the Bible tonight. Prove me. He said, put me to the test and see what I'll do. Another question has been asked this. Preacher, should I tithe off of investments? Well, can I just give this to you? If you invested $1,000 and in 90 days that bloomed, and whenever you got it back, then it was $2,000, then you know what you need to tithe off of? The part that you made. If you made $1,000, you ought to tithe off of it. Preacher, I bought a gun for $45. I'll buy every one you got for $45, okay? Let me back up. Preacher, I bought a gun for $500 and sold it for $600. Should I tithe off of that? You made $100, didn't you? I'm not saying tithe off of 600, but you ought to tithe off of 100. Say, preacher, I put $10,000 in the bank, and a year went by, and whenever I got my letters back and everything back in the mail, and I met with my banker again, that $10,000 had become $15,000. What should I do? You should tithe off that $5,000 you made. He said, prove me. But preacher, I got some big investments. What should I prove me? Prove me. That's what Jesus is saying to us tonight. See what I'll do. Let me show you 3 things. Number one, there's a definite proportion when it comes to tithing. There is a definite proportion when it comes to tithing. Listen to what the Bible says. In Leviticus chapter 27, verse number 30. And all the tithes of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And he goes on to say this in verse number 32. And concerning the tithe of the herd and of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. The tenth shall be holy. It's a very simple calculation. He says 10% is what you're to give to God. 10%. Matter of fact, whenever you go back and you study it in their day, they would bring 10% of their harvest to the storehouse, which was the Lord's house. And I'm going to go over that in just a minute. So tonight it is explained out to us. You say, well, preacher, that's the law. That's dealing with the law in Leviticus 27. But when you study it out, Abraham practiced it before the law. Before the law. And why do we want to, I said this morning, I'm going to say it again tonight and just keep moving. Why do we always want to pull that card out? Well, that's in the Old Testament. But boy, whenever we go through a hard time, We'll go back over in Psalms and pull that out of the Old Testament in a heartbeat. The Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah, I shall not want. Well, wait a minute, that's Old Testament. You can't use that. That's what we want to say, is it not? Oh, that giving stuff, that's Old Testament, man. You know, don't bring that into the New Testament. No, it's the Bible. There's not divisions of the Bible that we use and we don't use. Amen. There's a definite proportion. Matter of fact, whenever you study it out, Abraham commenced it. Jacob continued it. Moses commanded it. Malachi confirmed it. And Jesus commended it. So who am I to cancel it? Can I say that again? Abraham commenced it. Jacob continued. Moses commanded it. Malachi confirmed it. Jesus commended it. So who am I to cancel it? When you study Matthew chapter number 23, you find out that Jesus commended it. I want to say this. It's always been God's method of taking care of God's work that was brought to the storehouse, that was brought to the church house, and I'll say more about that here in just a second, to help keep the doors of the church open. There's one thing that you'll remember over the past 15 years. We do fundraisers for our young people sometimes. When we went on mission trips, when we go to youth camp, we're going to do a fundraisers for our kids. But when it comes to the function of the church, when it comes to keeping the lights on at the church, we're not going to have a bake sale, and we're not going to bring all of our junk and sell it in a yard sale to keep the lights on at the church. God said bring the tithes into the storehouse. And that's the reason. So there's a definite proportion. Number two, there's a designated place. There is a designated place. What did the Bible say? Now, I know we're not jumping up and down and shouting, running the aisles, and I could have sung a chorus of that verse again and hit the last verse again, and people could have testified for 45 minutes and we went home. But God dealt with me this week about dealing with this. Not only is there a definite proportion, there's a designated place to bring it to. The Bible said to bring it to the storehouse. Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 10. What is that referring to? It was referring to the temple of that day. And if we want to look at it in our day, in our dispensation, it's the church house. It is the church house. You know what? The TV evangelists don't need my tithe. That is not where I'm to give my tithe to. Whenever we have a guest preacher come by and preach and we take a special offering for him, I'm not to give my tithe to that preacher. That's a free will offering. I'm not to give my tithe to that preacher. That definite place that our tithe is to be brought into is to the church house. Well, what's it for, preacher? Well, it's to keep the lights on at the church. It's for the upgrades that needs to be done at the church. It's for building a new sanctuary. It's for paying the salaries of the people that works within the church. That's what it's for. It's for helping keep missions on the mission field. Now, we give the mission separate than our tithe. However, our church, 15% that comes into our church, we give to missions. So in other words, if our offerings today, our general offerings was $4,000, 15% of that, we're going to take and give it to missions. You say, well, preacher, if we was to take 15% of everything that was coming in and not give it to world missions but put it in our building fund, we could practically make the payment on our building. Guess what? We may could, but we're not going to. You say, well, I'm going to break it for the church and we're going to vote on it and that's what we're going to do. You're going to look for a new pastor. That's how dogmatic I am about giving to world missions. We are not taking money away from missions to take care of the church. We tithe to the church so the church can take care of the church. You say, well, I want to see where my money goes. Here's what we've always said. The beginning of every month, we knew a newsletter, and on that newsletter, it has the total of our accounts. But if you are a giving individual that attends our church, did you catch that? Giving individual that attends our church, then we have no problem going line upon line, precept upon precept, through our line item budget, every red cent. You say, is there a miscellaneous in it? Every budget has a miscellaneous in it, but ours is highlighted in yellow or in purple. And if you'll look in our budget where it's highlighted purple, there's another tab in that spreadsheet that is purple, and you click on it, and guess what? Every red cent that went to miscellaneous is in that miscellaneous form right there. Every penny that comes through our church can be accounted for. Every bit of it. Matter of fact, our spreadsheet for our budget, I guess, where's Miss Stephanie? Yeah, I guess all of the pages put together is about 10 or 11 different tabs. And if you was to print it all out, it's probably a small book. You say, why? Because we're to be accountable. We're to be accountable for the money that God gives the church. It's His money. Brother Mark looked at the architect on Friday, and we told him we was trying to build this building the cheapest we could, but the best we could, because we're giving account for 200 people's money, and it's God's money. So there's a debt. We bring it to the church. We bring it to the church. It's not for the people in the community. It's not for the needy. It's not for this foundation or that foundation. That 10% belongs to God, and it's to be brought to His storehouse. So we see this. There's a definite proportion. There's a designated place. And there is a divine purpose. There is a divine. What is the purpose? God wants to bless you. That's His purpose. God wants to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. You say, preacher, I'm doing fine for myself, and I'm not tithing the way that I should. I promise you, if you'll begin tithing the way that you should, you'll sit back and go, I can't believe, just this week. An individual was talking to our family and was talking about giving and how they had begun over the past year and a half, to give the way God tells them to give, and to give every bit of that to the Lord, not to question it. No matter what the bills came in, they gave that 10% to God. They put it in the offering plate. They trusted God for it. And just this week, it was amazing what God done for them. Now, it wasn't that God gave them $25,000, but there was a need that they had, and there was a situation from last year that had not been taken care of. And you know what God done this past week for them? Took care of that situation and this situation, and it didn't cost them a dime. And it didn't cost them a dime. And the situation that was being taken care of is part of the way that they make a living for their family. And I'll just put it this way. He removed the pestilence is practically what He did. You say, well, what a coincidence. That's not a coincidence, man. It's the divine purpose of God. God wants to bless you. God, it don't mean that you're going to ride around in a $200,000 vehicle. It don't mean that God's going to give you $1 million tomorrow. Do you know what He said? He said, try me. See, if I want to open the windows of heaven. I remember, and I've given this illustration before, but I remember years ago, Leslie and I had first got married. We was living at the place there in East Bend, and I'm just going to be honest. After we went into missions, for years, we growed stuff in the garden because that's the way we ate. And we didn't have the money. I don't have no sad story to tell. God's been good to me. We went to the grocery store and didn't get anything we wanted. We had to be very specific and keep up with how much it was. And you say, well, preacher, I still ate. I still ate. You say, what'd you do about tithing? Then I give every bit of it to the Lord. I never questioned Him over it. And we had this little garden, man. There's three or four tomato plants in it, three or four squash plants in it, and just three or four little things in it that we planted them out there just so we could have fresh stuff to eat. And I'll never forget, off of one of those squash plants that year, we give squash to every old timer in the community. I have never in my life seen so much squash come off of one plant. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Prove me. Prove me. When we was in world missions, this is the truth. When we was in world missions, God allowed us the last 3 years we was in missions to travel. And Leslie and Madeline was a baby then. Madeline had just been born. And we was traveling in an old 12-valve Cummins. And we pulled a 28-foot fifth wheel with it, and it overheated just about everywhere we went. And we just started praying. I didn't want to be on the road without my family. We started praying. And God opened the door for us to buy just about a new Chevrolet four-door, four-wheel drive dually and just about a new fifth wheel. God just, it was amazing the way God opened the door for it. So we walked through that door, didn't have a clue how we was going to pay for it. But God gave us peace about it, give us scripture on it. We walked through that door, and whenever we went through that door, I ended up, we bought it, we went on the road. The last year I had it, I ran over 30,000 miles the last year pulling that fifth wheel with it. We never put a set of tires on the camper. Pulled it over 40,000 miles and never put a set of tires on the camper. There was one that blowed, and it blowed getting off of the interstate, and they just happens to be a tire place right off the interstate that we was getting off of anyway. We pulled in there, got it fixed. It was the only tire that we ever blowed. Never put a set of tires on the truck. I said, "Preacher, I'm telling you," he said, "prove me." Don't mean that your pockets is going to be full of money. Said, "Prove me." Whenever it was all said and done, and I went to Northwood on staff at Northwood, I put the truck and the trailer up. We sold the trailer for exactly what we gave for it before we pulled it over 40,000 miles. And I sold the truck for $2,000 less than what I gave for it. You say, "Preacher, what are you saying?" He said, "Prove me." He said, "Prove me and see what I'll do. Just prove me. Just prove me." "Preacher, what do you say?" I'm saying this. Try him. He's given you a definite proportion. He's given you a definite place, a designated place. And his divine purpose is this. He wants to prove himself to you. I'll never forget. I'll give you one more illustration. I'll never forget. Years ago, when Daddy was actually on the road with Macedonia, he preached a missions conference in Louisville, Kentucky. We actually had been in several meetings there years ago. And there was a man that was there and got a hold of what Daddy was preaching on tithing, and Daddy actually dealt with giving to missions also by faith, and which he'll deal with that in October. I'm just dealing primarily with the tithe. The next year, Daddy went back, and the preacher was sitting on the platform, and he said, "See that man sitting right back there?" "The pastor did." And he said, "Yeah." He said, "That is the top giver in our church this year." Daddy said, "Really?" Daddy said, "He's just a simple looking old fella back there." Said, "Yeah." Said, "He works just right down the road." Said, "He's just a labor hand at a company, a big company just right down the road. He's just a labor hand." Said, "It's amazing what he gives." Daddy said, "Well, praise the Lord." Daddy said he preached the meeting, went back the next year. When he went back the next year, he began to talk to the man, and the man that was on the platform, the pastor, said, "You see that man sitting right back there?" Daddy said, "Yeah." He said, "I bet that man gives more than anybody else." He said, "Yeah." Daddy said, "Does he still work down there at that place? He's still a labor hand down there?" He said, "Yeah, he still works down there, but now he's the lead superintendent down there." Daddy said, "Well, that's amazing." The next year, Daddy went back and preached. And they sat on the platform. The preacher looked over him. He said, "You see," Daddy said, "Yep, that man sitting right back there. He's a top giver in this church. He's the lead man down there on such and such job." He said, "Well, you're right about part of it, but there's part of it you're not right about." And Daddy said, "Well, what's that?" He said, "He's not the lead man down there at that place anymore." Daddy said, "Oh, he's not?" And he said, "No." He said, "He owns the whole company now. He bought it and he owns it." Prove me. That don't mean God's going to let you buy Aspen out, Brother Scotty. But he said, "Prove me." He said, "Prove me. Prove me and see what I'll do for you." I cannot make you give the way that God commands us to give. But I can show you what he says. So when you stand before him one day, if you're in this room tonight, you're not going to be able to look at God and say, "I didn't know. I didn't know. I want to give you a 90-day challenge in closing. Will you come start playing softly? I want to give you a 90-day challenge. Okay? I want you to get your pen and your paper out. I want you to write that. I want to give you a 90-day challenge. To some, this will not be much of a challenge. To others, it'll be a huge challenge. Here's the 90-day challenge I want to give you. There's four things in it I want you to do for 90 days and see what happens at the end of it. I pray that you will commit to this 90-day challenge wholeheartedly and do it. Number one, I want to challenge you to pray 10 minutes a day. Just 10 minutes. Don't have to be consecutive, but it should be 10 minutes. Riding up the road by yourself. Preacher, what am I going to say for 10 minutes? Just start talking to him. Lord, thank you for that tree out there. Thank you that I have the eyesight to see that tree. I'm being honest with you. Thank you for that. Lord, thank you for this vehicle that I'm driving in. Lord, thank you that I was able to put gas in it. I mean, that's a miracle right there. Thank you that I was able to put gas in this vehicle. Thank you for the bed that you let me sleep in last night. If you're married, thank you, Lord, for my wife, or thank you for my husband. Thank you, Lord, that they're okay today. Thank you for my brother, and thank you for my sister. Thank you that they're okay today. 10 minutes and pray. And make sure in those 10 minutes that you thank him some. Don't take 10 minutes and tell him everything you need. Thank him some and that. Take 10 minutes a day and pray. Number two, over the next 90 days, starting in the morning, I challenge you to read the book of Psalms. So, preacher, it's 150 chapters. We're talking about 90 days, and part of the chapters are not but about 5 or 6 chapters long. Read about a chapter and a half a day, and you'll do it in less than 90 days. Matter of fact, I challenge you, here's a good way to do it. Read 2 chapters a day, and when you get to those long chapters, like Psalms 119, you can read 1 chapter. And then the next day, you can read 2, and you're still running on your timeline to finish it in 90 days. You say, I'm not good at reading. Listen to it, okay? Listen to it. It'll take you 10 minutes, less than 10 minutes, to read or listen to 2 chapters of Psalms a day. So over 90 days, pray 10 minutes a day. Read the book of Psalms. Number 3, invite 1 person to church a week. It can be through a gospel tract. It can be through going through a drive-thru and saying, hey, will you read this? Invite 1 person a week to church. Number 4, tithe as God's commanded. The way he said do it. 90 days and see what happens to your home. I'm not saying you're going to be out of debt in 90 days. I'm not saying you're not going to have some battles over the next 90 days, because you're probably going to face some big battles over the next 90 days because Satan's coming against you. I'm just being honest with you. That's the reason I said pray 10 minutes a day and read your Bible. I started just to give you the challenge of giving for 90 days. But you need to pray and read your Bible because Satan's coming against you. And that's the way Jesus fought off Satan, was with the Word of God. 90 days. 90 days and see what happens. It's practically August. Middle of August. Just see what happens in your life. Just see what happens. Be amazing to see what God will do. Nowhere else does he say, I'm done, but nowhere else does he say, prove me. So, preacher, you're just trying to get the money up for this building. I'm not trying to get the money up for this building. I'm just going to trust the Lord. I'm just going to trust the Lord. Is there going to be bumps in it? Absolutely. I'm just going to trust the Lord, though. Said, preacher, we going to get that grant. I'm praying that we do. July 1st, we'll put in for it. And we're going to trust God to do what he sees fit. I'm praying some big things right now. So will you share them with us? No, because I want to know that the Lord's heard me. I want to know that he's heard me. And if I share it with you and you pray it too, do I know that he heard me or did he hear you? I want to know that he heard me. Here's something you can add to that. Ask God for something specific in your prayer every day. Think about something that you'd really love to see God do. and ask Him for it. Now, He said if we ask according to His will, He heareth us. So if it's not His will, He may not hear you. But ask Him for it. You know what they say, don't you? Sky's the limit. God, nothing shall be impossible. Sky's not the limit. I just wrote a devotion today on that. The sky's not the limit. It's not. He'll go out on Wednesday. It's not the limit. God said, nothing's impossible with me. Who'd have ever dreamed 15 years ago we'd be sitting where we're at today? Most people that comes through here visiting and says, preacher, y'all are building a sanctuary. Where's all the people come from around here? It's just the Lord. He said, prove me. See what I'll do for you. Won't you let God prove Himself to you? I double dog dare you. I'm telling you, I could tell story after story after story of what God has done for our family. We went to the mailbox one day and opened it up, and there were several $100 in a check from the insurance company, and said, you've overpaid your insurance. That was the Lord. That was not Farm Bureau. That was the Lord. Try. You know what? If you know what you make every month, if you make a salary, it's real simple. Go on the church website in the part that says give and set up auto draft. We've got that. We can give. I don't never say nothing about it. I guess I ought to say it every once in a while. You can give online through the website. Go in there and set up auto draft. Well, preacher, or you going to believe God or not? You going to trust God or not? You say, well, I just don't try. Just try.